Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English. Today on the program, you will hear reports from Dorothy Gundy and Dan Friedel. Later, Faith Perlow answers a question from an English learner. We close with part 4 of the American story, Love of Life, by Jack London. But first...
China has delayed construction of an attack submarine for Thailand's Navy. A Thai naval official says Germany refuses to export the engines needed to finish the submarine to China. The delay could hurt Thailand's military relations with China, which has replaced the United States as Thailand's biggest arms supplier. The Royal Thai Navy and China's state-owned China Shipbuilding and Offshore International Company, or CSOC, signed the $402 million deal for the submarine in 2017. Thailand was expected to receive the submarine by the end of next year. Local media reported in February that construction of what would be the country's first submarine had stopped. Rear Admiral Apichai Somponkrong is Director General of the Thai Navy's Purchasing Office. He told VOA that the submarine was unlikely to arrive next year. Right now, the process of building the submarine is stuck because the engine is not concluded yet, he said. Apichai said the deal involved 3 diesel engines from Germany's Motor and Turbine Union Company to run the submarine's electrical system. Philip Duert is a German representative to Thailand. He wrote about his government's decision to deny China the engines in a letter to the Bangkok Post newspaper in February. The export was refused because of its use for a Chinese military defense industry item, he wrote. China did not ask coordinate with Germany before signing the Thai-China contract, offering German MTU engines as part of their product. Sweden's Stockholm International Peace Research Institute follows arms deals made around the world. The institute says MTU has provided China with over 100 of its engines for its destroyers and submarines from 1993 through 2020.
A 19-year-old girl and a 95-year-old man will be among the top singers to watch for at this weekend's Grammy Awards. The 64th Grammy Awards will be held this Sunday, April 3rd, in Las Vegas, Nevada, to honor singers, songwriters, and everything music for the year. Olivia Rodrigo, the teen singer, is nominated in the top 4 areas: Album, Song and Record of the Year, and Best New Artist, the music industry's highest honors. Only 2 musicians in Grammy's history have won all 4 categories in the same year. Billie Eilish, at the age of 18, won all 4 at the 2020 Grammy Awards. And rock singer Christopher Cross did the same in 1981. Music experts say Rodrigo is favored to win Best New Artist after her song Driver's License took off in January 2021. She is also a strong possibility to win Record and Song of the Year. Everybody thinks Olivia Rodrigo is going to take a significant number of awards, said Variety music expert Jem Oswad. She's almost a shoo-in for Best New Artist. In other words, she is expected to win the Best New Artist. For Album of the Year, Rodrigo's Sour is competing against 95-year-old Tony Bennett and Lady Gaga's Love for Sale. Other possible winners include albums from Justin Bieber, Taylor Swift, John Batiste, Billie Eilish, and several others. Kanye West, who has legally changed his name to Ye, is also nominated for his album, Donda. Several media organizations, however, reported that West could not perform at this year's ceremony because of his recent social media posts. West or Ye was suspended from Instagram for 24 hours this month after his posts about Trevor Noah, who will be hosting the Grammys this year. Representatives for the Recording Academy, which presents the Grammys, and West did not respond to requests for comment. West is an award nominee, so he could be at the event even if he does not perform. At the MTV Video Music Awards in 2009, West took the microphone from Taylor Swift as she was accepting an award. No one expects Kanye West to sit on his hands on Grammy night, Oswad said. The Korean group BTS, which has yet to win a Grammy, is nominated for Best Pop Duo Group Performance with Butter. Last year, the group lost to Lady Gaga and Ariana Grande's Rain on Me. This year, the boys band is up against Tony Bennett and Lady Gaga's I Get a Kick Out of You. This year's Grammys were moved to April from January because of a COVID-19 surge at the beginning of the year. I'm Dorothy Gundy.
The world's seafood industry is preparing for higher prices, supply problems, and possible job losses as restrictions make products from Russia less available. Experts say the continued restrictions meant to punish Russia, known as sanctions, will also affect the cost of fish in the U.S. and other countries. Russia is one of the world's top producers of the ocean fish called cod. It also supplies other seafood like crab and Alaska pollock. Glenn Libby is an owner of Port Clyde Fresh Catch, a seafood market in the U.S. state of Maine. If a seafood company gets cod from Russia, he said, the situation is quite a mess. The Associated Press said federal data shows that $50 million of Russian seafood products passed through Portland, Maine in 2021. Russia sent 12.7 million kilograms of cod to the United States during a 2-year period ending in January 2022, AP reports. In addition, other nations that import a lot of fish, such as Japan, will see higher prices as the supply from Russia is reduced. Europe and Britain also depend on Russia for fish. Andrew Crook is the head of a trade group in Great Britain called the National Association of Fish Friers. He described the situation this way. We are in real dire straits because of rising fish and energy prices. He predicted about 30% of the fish and chips stores in Britain would go out of business this year. Fish and chips is a traditional British meal of fried fish and potatoes. He told British broadcaster ITV, "We're a massive part of UK culture, and it would be a shame to see that go." In the US, one expert said people who like to eat fish will see higher prices and fewer choices. Kanai Tokunaga is an economics researcher in Maine. Tokunaga said, "Even fish that do not come from Russia will be more costly because seafood is a global commodity. The U.S. depends on cod from other countries because it is harder for Americans to catch that kind of fish than it used to be. In the early 1980s, fishermen in the northeastern U.S. caught about 45 million kilograms of cod each year. Now, restrictions meant to preserve the fish population limit the catch to 900,000 kilograms. Ed Markey is a U.S. senator from Massachusetts. He said seafood workers in his state are worried about losing their jobs. Walt Golett is an assistant professor of marine sciences at the University of Maine. He said, "The U.S. may be able to bring in a little more fish from Canada and Norway, but a shortage of traditional species of fish may have one good effect," said Ben Mertens. He runs the Maine Coast Fishermen's Association. He said, "It may be time for the fish business to start harvesting fish they used to leave in the water. If sanctions are going to disrupt supply chains, it does present an opportunity for other species," he said. I'm Dan Friedel.
This week on Ask a Teacher, we answer a question about daily and compare it to last week's Ask a Teacher question. We will answer a question from Malvin, a visitor to our website. Malvin writes, "I would like to know the difference between everyday and daily. Thanks." Dear Malvin, thank you for writing to us. Last week, we answered Yuna's question about every day and every day. This week, we look at the difference between those words and the word daily. Daily can be used as an adjective or an adverb. As an adjective, it means happening regularly or day to day. Daily can be a synonym for everyday, one word. Last week, we learned that the word everyday, one word, describes regular events. My everyday schedule includes waking up early, going to the gym, and making breakfast. So we can exchange everyday, one word, for daily in this statement. My daily schedule includes waking up early, going to the gym, and making breakfast. But we cannot use daily in place of everyday one word when it means common or usual. Daily can also be used as an adverb. When used this way, daily can take the place of everyday two words. Here are some different examples comparing daily to everyday two words. I listen to music every day. I listen to music daily. Getting enough sleep every day can help our memory. Getting enough sleep daily can help our memory. In both sets of examples, daily can be exchanged for everyday two words because it is used as an adverb. It also describes how often events, activities, or usual things happen. You can use daily, like everyday, one word, as an adjective to describe something that happens day to day. You can also use daily as an adverb to describe how often something happens. Please let us know if these explanations and examples have helped you, Malvin. What question do you have about American English? Send us an email at learningenglish@voanews.com. Be sure to tell us where you are from in your email. And that's Ask a Teacher. I'm Faith Perlow.
Love of Life by Jack London, Part 4.
In the afternoon, the man came to a track. It was that of another man who did not walk, but who dragged himself on his hands and knees. The man thought it might be Bill, but he thought about it without any interest. He had no curiosity. Feeling and emotion had left him. He was no longer able to feel pain, yet the life that was in him drove him ahead. He was very tired, but it refused to die. It was because it refused to die that he still ate muskeg berries and small fish, drank his hot water, and kept a careful eye on the sick wolf. He followed the track of the other man, who dragged himself along. Soon he came to the end of it. There were a few freshly cleaned bones where the grass was marked by the footprints of many wolves. He saw a moose-skin bag, exactly like his own. It had been torn by sharp teeth. He picked it up, although its weight was almost too much for his weak fingers. Bill had carried it to the end. Now he would have the last laugh. He would live and carry it to the ship in the shining sea. He laughed aloud, making an inhuman sound, and the sick wolf howled with him. The man ceased suddenly. How could he laugh at Bill, if that were Bill? If those bones, so pinky white and clean, were Bill? He turned away. Bill had deserted him, but he would not take the gold, nor would he eat Bill's bones. Bill would have done so, however, had their situations been exchanged. He came to a pool of water. Bending over it in search of fish, he threw his head back as if he had been struck. He had caught sight of his face in the water. So awful was it that his feelings were stirred long enough to be shocked. There were three fish in the pool, which was too large to empty. After several attempts to catch them in his tin container, he stopped. He was afraid, because of his great weakness, that he might fall and sink into the water. It was for this reason, too, that he did not trust himself to ride down the river atop one of the many logs to be found along its banks. That day he lessened the distance between him and the ship by 3 miles. The next day he traveled only 2 miles. Because he was now dragging himself on his hands and knees, as Bill had done. At the end of the fifth day, the ship was still 7 miles away. He was unable to travel as much as a mile a day. However, the summer weather continued, and he continued to move toward the ship. And always the sick wolf coughed at his heels. His knees had become red meat like his feet. Although he bound them with the shirt from his back, it was a red track he left behind him on the grass and stones. Once, glancing back, he saw the wolf licking his bloody track hungrily. He saw clearly what his own end might be, unless he could kill the wolf. Then began as awful an event as has ever been told. Two sick creatures, dragging their dying bodies across a wasteland and hunting each other's lives. Had it been a well wolf, it would not have mattered so much to the man. But the thought of feeding the mouth of that nearly dead thing was hateful. His mind had begun to wander again, and he was troubled by hallucinations. His reasonable moments grew shorter. He was awakened once from a faint sleep by a cough close to his ear. The wolf leaped back, losing its footing and falling in its weakness. It was a funny sight, but he could not laugh. Nor was he afraid. He was too far gone for that. But his mind was, for the moment, clear, and he lay and considered. The ship was no more than 4 miles away. He could see it quite well when he rubbed his eyes. He could also see the white sail of a small boat cutting the water of the shining sea. But he could never drag himself those 4 miles. He knew that, and was very calm about the fact. He knew that he could not travel another half a mile, and yet he wanted to live. It was unreasonable that he should die after all he had been through. Fate asked too much of him. And dying, he could not accept death. It was madness, perhaps. But in the very grasp of death, he refused to die. He closed his eyes and tried to keep himself calm. He struggled against the awful desire for sleep that threatened him. It was much like a sea, this deadly sleepiness. It rose and rose, mastering his entire self bit by bit. Sometimes he was almost lost, swimming through its waters with a weakening effort. Then, by some strange power of the soul, his will would strike out more strongly against it. Without movement, he lay on his back. He could hear slowly drawing nearer and nearer the sound of the sick wolf's breathing. It came closer, always closer. And he did not move. It was beside his ear. The dry tongue moved across his face. His hands struck out. Actually, he had willed them to strike out. The fingers were curved, but they closed on empty air. Quickness requires strength, and the man had not his strength. The quiet waiting of the wolf was awful. The man's waiting was no less awful. For half a day he lay without motion, fighting off sleep. He waited for the thing that was to feed upon him, and upon which he wished to feed. Sometimes the sea of sleep rose over him, and he dreamed long dreams. But always through it all, waking and dreaming, he waited for the noisy breath and the feel of the tongue. This time he did not hear the breath. He slipped slowly from some dream to feel the tongue along his hand. He waited. The teeth pressed softly, then more firmly. The wolf was using its last strength in an effort to sink its teeth into the food for which it had waited so long. But the man, too, had waited long. The hand closed on the wolf's mouth. Slowly, while the wolf struggled weakly, the other hand moved across the wolf's body. 5 minutes later, the whole weight of the man's body was on top of the wolf. The hands had not sufficient strength to grasp the wolf about the throat until it died, but the face of the man was pressed close to the throat of the wolf, and the mouth of the man was full of hair. At the end of half an hour, the man felt some warm drops of blood in his throat. It was not pleasant. It was like hot melted metal being forced into his stomach, and it was forced by his will alone. Later, the man rolled on his back and slept. There were some scientists traveling on the fishing ship Bedford. From where they stood on the ship, they could see a strange object on the shore. It was moving down the beach toward the water. They were unable to decide what it was. Being men of science, they climbed into a smaller boat and went ashore to examine it. And they saw something that was alive, but which could hardly be called a man. It was blind and did not know what it was doing. Its movements produced little effect, but still it continued to drag itself across the ground at the rate of about 20 feet an hour. 3 weeks later, the man lay in a bed on the fishing boat. With tears streaming down his face, he told who he was and what he had experienced. He also talked without meaning about his mother and a home in California among the flowers. The days were not many after that, when he sat at table with the scientists and the ship's officers. He delighted in the sight of so much food, and watched it carefully as it went into the mouths of others. With the disappearance of each mouthful, an expression of sorrow came into his eyes. He was not mad, however. He hated those men at mealtimes. He was afraid that there would not be enough food. He inquired of the cook, the cabin boy, the captain, concerning the food supply. They reassured him numerous times, but he would not believe them, and went into the kitchen to see with his own eyes. It was noticed that the man was getting fat. He grew bigger with each day. The scientists shook their heads and gave their opinions on the problem. They limited the amount of food given to the man at his meals, but still his weight increased. The seamen smiled. They knew. And when the scientists decided to observe the man, they learned the reason. They saw him walk about the ship after breakfast. Like a man begging with an outstretched hand, he approached a seaman. The seaman smiled and gave him a piece of bread. He grasped it and looked at it as a greedy man looks at gold. Then he put it inside his shirt. He received similar gifts from other smiling seamen. The scientists were careful. They allowed him to continue. But they secretly examined his bed. It was lined with bread. Every inch of space was filled with bread. Yet he was not mad. He was preparing for another possible famine, that was all. He would recover from it, the scientist said. And he did, even before the Bedford sailed into San Francisco Bay.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.